Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a brand new season of BDSI Art Networks presents No Foul Play. I am joined today by Momo. What's going on, Momo? Welcome back. Football is back. We are ready to talk the next 60 minutes because I got to get ready for an interview with Road Dogg today at the Soul in Sports, but this pod will come out after the fact. So what's going on, Momo?
Well, you say, Hugo, football's back. Football has never been away from me, but it's been a bit of a disaster, but we'll get onto that in the meantime. But as you say, for everybody else, football is back. The summer is over. Well, I'm in Scotland, so what summer? But football is well and truly back. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God that the actual leagues are back right now going on. Bayern Munich and Bayer Leverkusen are now kicking up the Bundesliga. Also, La Liga today is kicking off as well. I'm not too sure what game is going on. I'll let you guys know in just a second. But, Momo, it's going to be a relatively short show, but we'll be back again next week at a normal allotted time since I got to get ready for this interview and I had to take care of a couple of things today. So how about if we start off with the start of the Premier League? The richest league in the entire planet kicked off last week, and a lot of big surprises going on in the Premier League, Momo. I was surprised at the defending champions, Chelsea. I was very, very, very impressed, me being a Manchester City fan, but I got to give credit where credit is due with how Manchester United played last weekend as well. As well as Liverpool, we're going to talk about your beloved Liverpool in the Premier League. We're going to talk about Arsenal. We're also going to talk about, obviously, the new boys, Huddersfield Town, Brighton and Hove Albion, as well as Newcastle United. Obviously, no strangers to the Premier League. But I think we got to start off at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea were defeated by Burnley 3-2. A horrendous campaign, start campaign for Antonio Conte and his men. Burnley, by the way, I'm not taking no credit away from Burnley because I think Burnley were absolutely fantastic. However, obviously the bigger shock was just the way Chelsea played out at Stamford Bridge last Saturday. Momo, I mean, everyone is just as surprised of how Burnley were able to dominate Chelsea in the Alvaro Morata, who just signed from Real Madrid for, I believe it was roughly about £60 million with add-ons also included. But however, not to take nothing away from from Burnley, but Chelsea just looked absolutely detrimental at Stamford Bridge to start off that campaign. Is it another 2015 when Jose Mourinho started? It's just game number one, but time will tell, Momo. What do you think about Chelsea versus Burnley, man?
Well, you see, this is a hard one because you look at it, and like you say, Gary Cahill was sent off in 14 minutes, so the season wasn't even 15 minutes old, and already out. In terms of Chelsea's season, was 15 minutes old. Going to be technical. Arsenal and whoever it was on the Friday night. We'll go back to that minute. Cahill, 14 minutes, straight to a card. And then in a crazy 15-minute spell, ironically 15 minutes, Burnley with 3-0 up between 24th and the 43rd minute. So, okay, 19 minutes, sorry. We're 3-0 up. But then you think, holy shit, that's Chelsea down. They're finished. But then you go down, Morata pulls a goal back at 3-1. Then Fabregas gets sent off and they go, that's it, game over. But they somehow rally and get a second consolation goal in the 88th minute to finish 3-2. So it could be another 2015, but then at the same time, you've got to look at that from Burnley. It was like just severe sloppiness and taking it for granted. Chelsea had 9 men when they lost the second goal. I don't know. Like I say, one game in, we'll see what this weekend brings, and maybe next week we can delve back into this and see the repercussions of the game and see what happens afterwards.
Crazy stat also about Burnley, and again, not to take any credit away from them, as we know they were the worst team away from home last season in the Premier League, only 1-1. That was even towards the end of the season to barely escape relegation. On top of that, as well, I think they only scored like anything. I think it was like 15 goals. They scored 3, so you could say that they scored 20% of their goals in just one match to start off the Premier League season this year. And again, with Burnley, obviously they did lose a couple of big names. George Boyd is one of them going to Sheffield Wednesday. They lost Andre Gray, who was a fantastic forward, very young English, went over to Watford. So it's like Burnley have lost. You would think that coming into this game that they were going to get battered by Chelsea. But if you really look at it, Momo, obviously Chelsea also to give, you know, him to. Now I'm not going to say that I'm going to go ahead and be like, well, I'm going to go ahead and give you a pass because I don't think I'm going to give a pass to a defending champion going against a lower opposition like Burnley. Although, you know what, that's where realistically, lower teams to start off the season, I think they're the most dangerous ones to play. And, you know, we're going to talk about that in just a second when it comes to Huddersfield, who also, obviously newly promoted, never been in the Premier League, did absolutely fantastic against Crystal Palace, but we'll talk about that in just a second. Brighton also gave Manchester City a huge, huge fight for 70 minutes until Sergio Aguero was able to score the opening goal for Man City. But what I was trying to say is that I'm not going to give a pass to Chelsea because Chelsea are missing Eden Hazard. They are missing Diego Costa, which we still don't know what's happening. And there's reports out there that Diego Costa is getting now frustrated with Atletico Madrid because Atletico Madrid cannot meet the asking price for Chelsea. But at the end of the day, Atletico Madrid right now are in a transfer ban. And currently also, they don't have the means for them to be able to pay the fee that Chelsea are asking for Diego Costa. But we'll talk about that in just a second, Momo. But on top of that, like I said, they were missing Eden Hazard. They're missing Diego Costa. They signed Nemanja Matic away over to Manchester United, which everyone was like, what the hell is wrong with Chelsea letting go of
probably? I know, right?
Letting go of possibly, I want to tell you, the most, the back piece alongside with Conte. You know, obviously, Matic and Conte last season did absolutely wonders for Chelsea to win the Premier League title. Also, on top of that, Bakayoko, who they just signed over from Monaco for a reported £53 million, he's obviously out injured. Then Gary Cahill gets sent off. Kurt Zuma was loaned out to Stoke. So it's like they don't have any depth in their squad, Momo, because they sell their players or they sell them out on loan, so you're stuck with a bunch of youngsters. And if you look at the bench from Chelsea last Saturday, it was filled with nothing but young players, Momo, who have never had Premier League experience, by the way.
Yeah, I'm just actually looking. I'm on the Sky Sports app just now. I'm just loading the team lineup just to get the benches. 2 seconds. Okay. Caballero and Morata are the only two names I recognise on the bench. I mean, you've got R. Kennedy, C. Masunda, A. Christensen, F. Tomori, and K. Scott. I don't know any of those names. I mean, obviously Caballero, we know him because he's well travelled. And Morata, well, you couldn't exactly have missed him going to Chelsea over the summer because of the fee he went for. I mean, but like you say, they've lost a lot of good players. Chelsea, like Matic going to Man United was a bolt out of the blue for me personally. I mean, I'd heard the links, but I laughed it off. Nah, he won't go there because between him and Kante, he was spying that team last season. But then he went, and, you know, also the red card was huge. Obviously, it swung the game in Burnley's favour massively because it allowed them to capitalise immediately on the shock that they were down 10 men, and they scored 3 goals in that 90-minute period. But even still, it's like, well, you know, Fabregas, he's starting to get on a little bit. And I wouldn't exactly have said that him and Kante have the greatest of understandings, especially based on last Saturday's sort of 90-minute demolition job Burnley pulled. But when you look at how Kante and Matic played last season, that two players pretty much won the league. Obviously, Costa scored a hell of a lot of goals, but, you know, in terms of controlling games, it was that two guys that pulled the strings in midfield for everything. Everything went through those two players.
And again, big ups to Burnley, by the way. Not to take away anything from them. They did win 3-2. They did get delivered by Alvaro Morata for David Luiz on a set piece. And then after that, Chelsea just played all 9 men behind, in front of the box, and then Burnley just held on for dear life. But let's talk about really quick. Antonio Conte, obviously, in the striking force, they have Alvaro Morata, who's still not match fit, and you can tell he's not match fit if you actually watch the Community Shield against Arsenal the week prior to the weekend before. Also, on top of that, they have Batshuayi, which I don't think Antonio Conte is too keen on Batshuayi. So, here's the elephant in the room. They have Diego Costa sitting in Brazil, not doing anything. Was it a mistake for Antonio Conte, the way that he has mistreated Diego Costa? And again, I am not the biggest Diego Costa fan. However, the pedigree that this player does have, it is absolutely detrimental. He has helped Chelsea win 2 Premier League titles in 3 seasons. He has been there at Chelsea. Number one, is it justifiable what they have done with Diego Costa? And number two, now that we see that they're right now on panic mode after 1 game, would Chelsea bring back Diego Costa? I personally think, I think he's done at Chelsea. I think he definitely doesn't want to play for Antonio Conte anymore. I think he came out and say on on a Brazilian channel. It's not called Sky Brazil. It was something – oh, ESPN Brazil. Excuse me. I don't know why I was thinking about Sky. ESPN Brazil, he came out and said that Antonio Conte, he is a hell of a manager. However, as a person, he is – excuse my word – a shitty person. So my question to you is Chelsea right now in deep trouble without Diego Costa in their squad?
Well, because, right, look at it this way. Diego Costa's come out and said what you've said, and again, apologies for the language, quote unquote here, he's a hell of a manager, but he is a shitty person. Fair enough, if that's Diego Costa's opinion. But then again, is that the media or his agent spinning that? Because apparently, Diego Costa said Conte had texted him saying, you know, I appreciate your efforts, Chelsea, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, you're not on my plans. But then, like yesterday, I seen the same text, and also you can't see him doing the inverted commas with my hands thing, you know, but the same text was sent to Conte, was saying basically, thank you, but in other words, go away sort of thing, you know, like a really not, like a very short, sharp message, appreciate your effort, but you're not good enough to stay here, just go. And then, like you said earlier, and I read this morning or this afternoon, I've seen it, that apparently Atleti are priced out of a move for Costa. But that's the thing. One, they're priced out of a move because they've not got the money for it, because they're looking to put their put a lot of investment in their new stadium. But two, they're on a two-year transfer ban. So even if Costa did theoretically move...
No, they have a transfer ban. They have a transfer ban until now. He can move to Atletico in January if they were to sell them to Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. I mean, like, it's until, he can't go till January. So, you know, he'd be sitting kicking his heels for X amount of months. But I'm pretty sure with the same issue with Barcelona, the players they signed under their transfer embargo, they weren't even actually allowed to train with Barca because of said embargo, because they technically weren't registered, because they couldn't be registered. So that's how the embargo works. You cannot register players. So, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't think they're panicking yet externally, but internally, yes, they are.
Well, the obviously, and again, we're going to move away from Chelsea because, like I said, it's a relatively short show. We'll be back again next week, obviously, to talk more in depth about, you know, what happened with transpired over this next weekend. And obviously, me and Momo and I are going to give our predictions of who's going to win the Premier League title. And we'll talk about all the other leagues next week. I think we should definitely leave that for that because obviously it just started off today. The Bundesliga and La Liga started off today. Like I said, Bayern Munich is up 2-0 on Bayer Leverkusen at the moment, and Leganes is up 1-0 against Alaves in La Liga. Valencia kick off their La Liga campaign against Las Palmas in roughly about half an hour's time. That's 4:15 Eastern time. That is 9:15 over in the UK. But once again, we'll talk about the other leagues next week. Let's just stick with the Premier League today. Maybe Momo has one or two words on the Scottish football, and we'll talk about that later. But, however, based on what I was going to say about Diego Costa, is that Diego Costa obviously wants to go to Atletico. Apparently, and again, and I want to move away from this now, but I just something that I read today that was very interesting is that Diego Costa is willing to also give some of his wages, some of his money to be able to facilitate the transfer over to Atletico Madrid. On top of that as well, Las Palmas, and Real Sociedad are willing to take Diego Costa on loan until January. If Atletico Madrid will obviously allow him to go on loan to either Las Palmas or Real Sociedad to go ahead and play with them until January, where definitely he'll be able to train then with Atletico and obviously start off with Atletico Madrid. That's something that I have heard. However, Chelsea are playing hardball because if they want him to facilitate that deal over to go to Atletico Madrid, he has to A, come back to England, start training, and B, he has to get match fit in case he is up for contention for Chelsea. Those are the conditions that Chelsea have set on Diego Costa if they want a deal to go through. Once again, these are just grains of salt. It's something that I've been reading. I've also talked to a couple of resources telling me that this is what's going on right now with Diego Costa over at Chelsea. So right now we have still roughly about 12 days before the transfer window does close down. It's going to get very, very hectic. Obviously, a lot of paddock moves are going to start happening all over across Europe, and as well, obviously, some big moves. Like Diego Costa, will he go to Atletico Madrid? Will he stay put at Chelsea and go on strike and actually run the capability of getting sued by Chelsea? That's another thing that I have heard, that he might get sued by Chelsea because obviously he is in breach of his contract if he does not come back to Chelsea and train. So we'll talk about that a little bit later next week, Momo, but we have to move on, and let's go ahead and talk about Arsenal. Arsenal obviously did kick off the Premier League season against Leicester City. Obviously the biggest signing over for Arsenal this season has been Alexandre Lacazette, who looked absolutely fantastic on preseason for Arsenal. He scored in the first 2 minutes for Arsenal. Then Leicester, obviously with Arsenal's horrible defense, which defensively they are absolutely horrible, they conceded two goals against Leicester. Then Arsenal came back in the 45th minute. Obviously made it 2-2. Then after that, Leicester. No one thought Leicester was just going to sit back, try to defend that draw. Then no, Jamie Vardy once again in a set piece, defensive error once again by Arsenal. And then after that, I think it was the 82nd minute. Leicester looked absolutely tired, and obviously Arsenal was able to score. They came up 3-3 and finally finished off 4-3 in the 92nd minute. A goal by Olivier Giroud, which gave the 3 points to the Gunners. Arsenal fans already thinking they won the league because of what happened. However, couple of points about Arsenal. Let's be real. Hey, Mesut Ozil, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Alexis Sanchez have not re-signed new deals for Arsenal. Arsene Wenger are saying that none of those three men will be sold in this transfer window. However, he has now come out and said, and there are reports out there, that we don't know what could happen at the end of this transfer window. So, Arsenal are very, very odd when it comes to doing their business, because if they would have sold Alexis Sanchez, as we know, he doesn't want to play for Arsenal anymore. He doesn't want to play under Arsene Wenger. He has already said that he wants to go reunite with Pep Guardiola at Manchester City. He wants to go play with Pep. However, Arsenal are not keen to lose him to a Premier League rival 1 year before his contract expires, but they are willing to let him go on a free, not making any profit out of him next season, which to me sounds stupid and ridiculous. Take the £50 million that Manchester City are offering to you and buy someone to be able to reinforce. Same thing with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Chelsea wants him. They don't want him to go to Chelsea. Mesut Ozil, we still don't know what's going on with Mesut Ozil. We don't know if he's staying or if he's going or if he's resigning. We don't know what's going on with that. With that being said, the only thing Arsenal have done is just bought Alexander Lacazette. Because other than that, they haven't bought anything else. And that team, they have a good squad. They just need pieces to go alongside with that squad to add. And maybe they got to dump some of these other players that are not willing to commit to the club to finally making it a well-oiled machine, Momo.
Yep. Good win for the first of the season. Credit to Arsenal. They have actually spent money this year, which sort of made me fall off my chair when I read they'd actually spent more than £40 million and £1. Just a little dig there, because I like to have a little dig at Arsenal, as we do here. I've lost my train of thought completely now. We like to have a little dig at Arsenal here, yes, because it's funny and it's also true. Furthermore, yes and no, they have got a good squad, because you know they've still managed to get the giddy heights of fifth place. You know, we'll say that's enough said about that in case anyone wants to rise to my little baiting there. But seriously, they're not going to the league. And you know why they're not going in the league? Because one, yeah, they spent £54 million or whatever it was on Lacazette, and they're going to get much and such the same thrown at them by City for Sanchez, because Sanchez doesn't want to be there. City wants Sanchez. It's one of those, you know, to use the classic Sky Sports term or whatever your national or local sports broadcaster is for football, it's, you know, the saga of the summer. You know, Sanchez, Arsenal, Man City tug of war thing is the saga of the summer. I don't care what anyone says. August 31st or September 1st, whatever day, transfer window shuts. We boom, X amount of stupid money. Sanchez joins Arsenal, and that is what will cock up Arsenal. Apart from the fact they've not done it now and used that money to go and get a decent centre back, a decent centre midfielder.
Right, and obviously with that type of money, they are right now hiring Thomas Lemar from Monaco, which, by the way, I feel so bad for Monaco, and we'll talk about that next week, that their whole team has been completely ripped apart from that fantastic season they had last year at Ligue 1 and in the Champions League.
Yeah.
But obviously, right now, they are keen on Thomas Lemar from Monaco. They could use those funds to be able to facilitate the move for Thomas Lemar, and as well as you say, also another center back. Now, to each their own, to give them credit, yes, Mustafi was not playing for Arsenal last weekend, and neither was Per Mertesacker, as he has been injured. And obviously, he is entering the last, I believe, his last season as a player, because he's going to become a coach for Arsenal next season. But over and under, you think Alexis Sanchez goes to Manchester City at the end of the transfer window, or will Arsenal be stupid enough not to take the deal and not take any funds from, you know, to be able to not be able to take any money in and risk losing him on a free next season?
Because I'm thinking that, you know, they will take the money because, one, they can then have what, I'm not saying it will last, or it's likely to happen, but they could maybe, and this is going out on a very big limb here, because not just because I don't like Arsenal and it's funny to take the mick at them, it's because I generally don't think they're good enough, but they could potentially mount a mini challenge and be within reach of first place come Christmas and come the January transfer window, and then use their money they get from Sanchez on the last couple of days to then go and, you know, to go and get someone or go and get two players in the January transfer window, and that could, you know, that it could actually bode really well for them. You know, I don't think it'll work out like that, because I don't think Arsenal are that business savvy the way they do things, because, you know, they, you know, like obviously we saw when they tried to get Suarez, they bid, you know, £1 extra. When it was like, you know, when it was like, well, I'm sure if you'd bid 65 million, Liverpool would have bitten your hand off for it. I'm sure the 70 million or 75 million Barcelona paid, Liverpool pretty much bit Barcelona's hand off for it. And speaking of, we'll go to Liverpool in a second, because that's like a handy link there. But, you know, I mean, in general terms of things, I think that is the best way for Arsenal to do it. Wait until the last minute, sell them for 54, 55, or even just 40, just to take whatever money City are going to throw at Arsenal to get their man. Because then Arsenal got that 40 million quid, then they can sit and they can start working on getting players toward the January transfer window. You know, and then come January, they can go and sign two players, maybe even three, because, you know, 15 million a player, three players, 15 million is 45. They'll only get 40 million for Sanchez. That's still £5 million they're only spending of their own money they didn't make previously. So, one, they're staying well within FFP, even though I don't think they're in any danger of doing FFP.
Yeah, no one's PSG right now, by the way.
No way. That's something I want to touch on loads next week. Also, the fact is, this could actually win them the league or even get them, you know, something better than fourth place.
Better than Europa League?
I don't...
Because, you know, yeah, I mean, I always like saying,
oh, yeah,
welcome to the Europa League.
Yeah, it's like, hey, Thursdays, how are you doing? You know, but I genuinely think that Arsenal could, if they do it that way, and they obviously need the luck with injuries. We all know that. Don't get luck with injuries, you've had it. But just to go, and like, again, we said predictions next week, but just a little sort of like link into that for next week. Coutinho goes to Barcelona. Liverpool don't replace him properly. Liverpool won't finish top four.
So let's go ahead and switch over then to Liverpool. Obviously, the big story over at Liverpool is Philippe Coutinho, perhaps leaving Liverpool to go over to Barcelona. And today they had a bid rejected, over £110 million. They're saying no, he's not for sale. We're not taking no money away from him. However, you know, money talks. BS walks, Momo. Especially after the €222 million. Profit that they have made from Neymar, have Barcelona. However, and again, we'll talk about Barcelona next week, because right now that's a team that is in shambles. I know that you look up to Barcelona over in Spain, and we'll talk about that more again next week. But Momo, even then, man, Liverpool, even without Coutinho, last week against Watford. It was a game that definitely they definitely could have won. Watford, however, fought hard. They were up most of the game until the 55th minute when Roberto Firmino scored. Then 2 minutes later was Mohamed Salah. And then the 93rd minute, there was Liverpool's defense. 93rd minute, Miguel Britos, although they are saying out, I mean, it is clear that he was offside. So not good on the FA on that standpoint or the Referees Association over in England. However, still, 3-2 to Watford. That's a very easy, winnable game. However, Liverpool did look impressive against Hoffenheim. When was it? On Tuesday in the Champions League playoff against Hoffenheim. However, Liverpool playing Champions League this season, they're almost 99% sure to go ahead because they should be able to defeat Hoffenheim. However, what did you see about Liverpool? No great new addition except Mohamed Salah over for Liverpool to be able to re-strength their squad, especially playing in Europe this year. Are you concerned for Liverpool Football Club going forward in this season with Champions League football and not having any type of reinforcements besides Salah and perhaps losing their best player in Philippe Coutinho in this transfer window?
Yeah, man. Coutinho, as far as I'm aware, I mean, I'll say I have no insider information from anyone, but based on what's going in and on around in the media right now, Coutinho's away. It's as simple as that. And despite Liverpool and Klopp saying he's not for sale, the guy's not going to be there anymore. I mean, I can't understand why, because there's nothing wrong being at Liverpool. And you can see that. I mean, they're not going to win the league this season, which is a fair judgment to make, regardless if Coutinho stays. But at the same time, this is Barcelona. This is one of, like, a handful of teams that every year have a shout to win the Champions League. So, I mean, why are you not going to go there? I mean, Liverpool, with Coutinho, would probably easily make last 16 and quite possibly, based on the draw, probably easily make quarterfinals. Then after that, you're starting to get into your real heavy hitters, teams that do this every single year. And Liverpool have been out of Champions League for, what, 4 years now, if not more? So there's not one player there that I can think of, but I'd have to go through the squad lists to check out properly, that has actually got proper Champions League experience with Liverpool. So, I mean, Coutinho stays. As a Liverpool follower, I'm not a proper supporter, really, because I've never been in a game. You know, it's great for the club. But at the same time, as much as I would like Coutinho to stay because he's a talented player, take the money and run. You're not going to get a bigger offer than that. And if the guy strikes, then it's going to be worse because he's not going to come back. And then Barcelona will lower their offer and you won't get as much money for him. Simple as that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you 100% on that. If Barcelona comes knocking on the door, you go to Barcelona. If Real Madrid comes knocking on the door, you go to Real Madrid. If Manchester United, never mind Manchester United. If Bayern Munich comes and knocks on the door, you're going to Bayern Munich. So I agree with you 100% on that one. Take the money and reinforce. Your £110 million. That's a lot of money. That could buy you three or four good quality players that can definitely strengthen over at Liverpool. You know, they'll be able to find a replacement, obviously not as versatile as Philippe Coutinho, but someone that will do the job and also reinforce where you need it, which obviously, the defense to me still looks a little bit shaky for Liverpool, especially against the lesser oppositions when we saw in the Premier League last season, Momo. So that's something that they have to address. And again, it looked once again, starting up the season against Watford, who are a lower Premier League team. So with that being said, strengthen your squad. Also go ahead and go into your midfield as well, because Emre Can as well, Jordan Henderson. Who else do they have in midfield? To me, I think that's it. Who else do they have in midfield that they could definitely play? Exactly. So see what I mean. So we even struggled to know who else Liverpool will have. So Liverpool with Champions League football, take the money. Strengthen around, because Liverpool definitely could make a stride if they have a favorable group in the Champions League, could definitely make it into the knockout stages of the Champions League. In a team like Liverpool, who obviously have rich European history, obviously not in the league much because they haven't won a Premier League, but they have won as before the Division One in England before it became the Premier League. Yes, they have won titles before, but they haven't won a Premier League since it got rebranded to the Premier League back in 1992. So with that being said, Momo, I definitely do believe that Liverpool should take the money and run as well. And Philippe Coutinho, Barcelona comes knocking, take the money, and let him go, re-strengthening. And I'm sure you're going to be stronger than with Philippe Coutinho there, because then you obviously are addressing your areas of opportunity for Liverpool. Let's continue on. Huddersfield Town, Momo, newly promoted, defeating a very, very poor Crystal Palace team. Still, they're still a Premier League team. Crystal Palace, we know they flirted with relegation last season. The year before, they actually did pretty good. However, and with the depth that Crystal Palace has, you would never think that they should be a team that should be flirting around with relegation. They have a brand new manager in Frank de Boer. However, at the end of the day, Huddersfield, very impressive in their Premier League debut, man.
Yeah, I mean, that totally shocked me. That was, along with the Chelsea result, this result was one of two in the Premier League that wrecked my Coupon last weekend. So, I mean, did not expect that. I mean, I was like, yeah, Huddersfield will do all right, but I think they'll probably go down. I mean, I think they're going to be potentially the last team to go down just because of their squad and their ability. I think, like, you know, there's others that will struggle worse than they will, because obviously the team for the playoffs is generally historically done all right. Not always survived, but done all right. But, I mean, that threw me off. So, yeah. Hard
absolutely
to say. Hearts in trouble this year, I think, based on that result. But again, it's far too early to say.
Yeah, so, you know, big ups for Huddersfield Town. I'm very, very, very proud of Huddersfield, definitely against the Crystal Palace squad, who should definitely never be in the round of the relegation with Johan Kabay in their squad, Christian Benteke, Wilfred Zaha, Scott Dan in the defense. They have a good goalkeeper in Wayne Hennessy. They have a good squad, and they have a proven coach, obviously, in the Netherlands, because I think in England he hasn't really done to his potential. But at the end of the day, they definitely do have a good manager that should hopefully keep them away from relegation. I'm very, very worried about Crystal Palace if they continue on the same road that they were at last season, flirting with that relegation. But let's continue on, Momo. Another score, nothing too crazy. West Bromwich Albion 1, Bournemouth 0. Reports out of the Hawthorns is that Manchester City has bid shockingly for Johnny Evans. I don't think that, I mean, obviously he used to be a Manchester United player. Louis van Gaal sent him over to West Bromwich Albion. That to me seems shocking and kind of weird, but it could work. It could work, especially since Man City have spent in their defense over, well, how much was it? Like over 110 million pounds in just a defense in both Kyle Walker and Benjamin Mendy, who is a fantastic left back, and Danilo. Sorry, it's been more than 110 million pounds. They spent almost 140 million pounds in the defense. And we'll get to Manchester City in just a second. However, if we look at the center backs, God forbid Vincent Kompany gets injured, then who do they have? John Stones, Nicolas Otamendi, at the end of the day, listen, a lot of people do rate him highly. I think he is a great center back. He played well for Valencia. He doesn't get the credit that he does get at Manchester City because he's kind of like Diego Costa, who is very, very heat. He gets very heated and in the spur of the moment always makes these ridiculous tackles. But he is a decent center back. I'm not saying that he's world class, but he's a decent center back. And then after that, you have Elokwe Mangala, who came back after his loan spell at Valencia. However, reports out of Manchester City is that because they have now, Pep Guardiola has inquired about Johnny Evans, that he is becoming restless, and he thinks that his time at Manchester City is coming to an end for Elokwe Mangala. He really wanted to come back, try to impress Pep Guardiola. He wasn't even picked for the reserves, for the substitute bench against Brighton and Hove Albion. And you know what, let's just talk about Manchester City now. So he wasn't obviously chosen for not even to be in the substitute. So obviously he knows that his time is coming to an end. And I watched every Man City game over the preseason. I thought he was absolutely fantastic when he came on. Mangala, I thought he definitely should be giving an extra shot at, you know, at least making it to the substitute bench. Nothing. So I think Mangala is as good as gone. However, the other signings, Kyle Walker, I don't care what people say, 50 million pounds for a defender, world, you know, I think Kyle Walker is possibly the best right back in England and one of the top five in the world just because of his pace, how he draws back to defend. He is an absolutely fantastic player. Yes, I know Tottenham has Kieran Trippier, who has ousted Kyle Walker in that right back spot, because Kieran Trippier, obviously coming from Burnley, he did absolutely wonders at Burnley, then going over to Tottenham after Mauricio Pochettino and Kyle Walker did have their fallout. Then Kieran Trippier became the number one choice for Mauricio Pochettino over at Spurs, and obviously put Kyle Walker in second. And Kyle Walker is not a type of right back that you actually do keep on the bench. He is someone that needs to be playing regularly. He is England's number one in right back alongside with Nathaniel Clyne. So to me, I thought it was a fantastic, fantastic signing for Man City. Man City have also signed Danilo from Real Madrid, which I'm still kind of shaky about him, even though he had a great preseason. I never really liked Danilo over at Real Madrid. I thought he definitely could get very sluggish. He gives a lot of balls away, but maybe a change of scenery in a different team could do well for Danilo, and that does seem to happen with certain players, Momo. So obviously the jury is still out for Danilo. Benjamin Mendy over on the left-hand side, fantastic signing from Monaco, obviously in the league-winning, the Monaco league-winning team was detrimental as well. He completely destroyed Manchester City, also in the Champions League last season, also Borussia Dortmund, and obviously went against Juventus, and Juventus were just too big for him. But I think Benjamin Mendy is another fantastic. He should be coming back in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And then after that, Man City does have obviously John Stones and Vincent Kompany in the defense. However, we know Vincent Kompany, as much as we highly rate him as a center back, he gets injured very easily. So if he goes out, Man City needs another center back. To me, I would have loved to be Mangala. However, they really want Johnny Evans for some reason. Hey, Pep Guardiola knows what he's doing. He is the coach. He is the manager. If you're a fan of your team, you obviously go through with your manager through thick and thin, unless you're Arsenal, because Arsene Wenger has been there for, 20 years or so? And, yeah, I think his time has come to an end, but whatever. Anyway, on top of that, also Man City have signed Bernardo Silva as well from Monaco. Another fantastic left mid, could also play as a center attacking mid, or he could also play as a center mid. Fantastic there. Yeah. And as we know, also Man City do have the attacking power, who probably are the strongest in the Premier League. Kevin De Bruyne, David Silva, Raheem Sterling, Leroy Sané, Gabriel Jesus, and Sergio Aguero. Good win against Brighton. It took them 72 minutes, but Brighton did defend. They had 11 men in the box. Kind of hard when you have 11 men behind the box, Momo, for you to be able to go ahead and get also Man City going. But Man City played very well against the games against Brighton. Sorry, go ahead, Momo.
No, I'm just saying, I've got nothing to nothing to dispute there, nothing to say, because you've nailed it all on the head, man. It's just, you know, everything you said is like 100% accurate. I mean, but then again, it's your team. You know exactly what you're talking about. So, you know, when we have a little a bit of banter in our group chat, you know, I'll stick in my 2 cents, but generally it's just satire because I don't actually know the proper ins and outs like you guys do, because obviously it's your club and it is your love. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I think, man, just to sort of like diversify a little bit away from City, but not too much away from City, in terms of like the overall impacting title race, Spurs should be top four, not sure where. They struggle a bit. I think it's a bit weird that Kyle Walker's been displaced, but hey ho, we'll see what happens. City's defensive signings cracking. I can't see City struggling too much this year. I mean, Chelsea will put up a damn good fight, but I don't think it'll be enough, to be honest with you. And as for Man United, which I think we can maybe go on to next.
So let's go to Man United. I was very surprised, pleasantly surprised with Manchester United.
I didn't see the games because I was... I was in Glasgow on Sunday, that's right. I was in Glasgow with Mrs. on the day. I went to ICW, happy days. Different story though. So I did see
the highlights?
Result. I was like, whoa, 4-0? Okay,
yeah, West Ham were poor though. West Ham were poor. To each their own, I'm not taking away credit from Manchester United, but I just wanted to let you know that West Ham were poor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. West Ham, they seem, it wasn't at home, so you can't exactly sit and go, oh, it's the Olympic Stadium again. But at the same time, it's like, well, they were pretty poor last season. I mean, they're not entirely sure who they signed, and they've not made any big signings as far.
Let me tell you who West Ham have signed, and I think they should be in the top 10. However, I'll be honest with you, if they continue what they did in the first game of the season, I could definitely see them going out. They have bought Chicharito Hernandez over from Bayer Leverkusen for £18 million, which to me is a steal. Especially for Chicharito. Yes, I know a lot of people don't rate him too highly. However, he has played for Manchester United. He has played for Real Madrid. He has played now for Bayer Leverkusen. He is back in the Premier League. He's definitely a natural in the Premier League. So for West Ham to buy him for £18 million, I think that was a fantastic steal for them to take him away from Bayer Leverkusen. On top of that, they have obviously signed Marko Arnautovic over from Stoke, who was arguably their best player at Stoke City as well, to strengthen. They have also signed Pablo Zabaleta, who obviously his contract ended at Man City. However, yes, 32 years old. He is getting older, right back. He's getting slower, his pace, but he is still a quality right back and someone who is a general and could be a leader in your team in Pablo Zabaleta. And on top of that, listen, I am not the biggest Joe Hart fan. You know how many times I've condemned Joe Hart.
Joe Hart.
But they have signed him on loan. He did help Manchester City win two Premier League titles. Joe Hart, at the end of the day, he is England. He is English. He is England's number one, arguably, because I think Jack Butland and Tom Heaton could say something about that if Joe Hart has these what I saw against Manchester United. So realistically, on paper, they have a good squad. However, I'll be honest with you, I am not too keen on West Ham this season. I could definitely see a shock that they could get relegated this season, and Slaven Bilic could be the first manager out for West Ham United. But with that being said, let me go to Manchester United really quick. Lukaku, £90 million with add-ons. Do I think it was a panic buy? Yes. However, he is a natural goal scorer, has played well for Everton. They have also signed, obviously, Matic over from Chelsea, who... to me, he looked absolutely fantastic with Manchester United against West Ham, and obviously they have Paul Pogba. They have Paul Pogba. They have Henrik Mkhitaryan, who the jury's out there for me. I do not like him. I never liked him at Dortmund. I do not like the dude. He is very, very inconsistent. However, Man United, they love the dude. Fine. They have Eric Bailly. They also signed Lindelof over from Benfica. So they have a good squad. And in fact, I'll be honest with you, they have a squad to win the Premier League this season. They look so mint that I'm afraid that this Manchester United team could definitely contend for the title. I'll be honest with you, Momo. I'm just going to give it away. I was going to say the Manchester clubs are taking the Premier League this season. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. One of those two teams are taking the Premier League crown this season. The way that Manchester United played, Jose Mourinho's second time in charge, I think we're going to see a huge run for Manchester United. Champions League? Maybe not so much. I think Jose Mourinho will rather win the Premier League than he would the Champions League. I'm not going to say that he's going to throw away the Champions League, because you should never throw away the Champions League. That's a sure thing. However, they're still not ready to contend with a team with teams like Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Juventus. You know, these teams that are very, very strong in Europe, but I think they can contend with Premier League teams, Momo.
Yeah. Since you've given yours away, I'm going to agree with you. I'm also going to put Chelsea into the mix despite last Saturday. Spurs had a fantastic season last season, as we all know. Absolutely did amazing well. But yeah, they've, you know, I mean, I seen a thing on Facebook the other day saying they've signed someone. I don't know whether that's true or not, because it's one of these...
this Colombian kid from Ajax, 21-year-old right back. Obviously it's going to take the number two role after Kieran Trippier. He's a kid. I forgot his name. I'll get to the name. But yeah, they signed him over from Ajax.
Nothing against him because his nationality, because he's Colombian.
We don't know him. Yeah, I don't even know him.
That's even worse. If you don't know him, you're Colombian yourself, you don't know him, then how the hell? I mean, he could play tomorrow, score a hat-trick, and that could be him for the season. He could just be amazing all season. We don't know. But you know yourself, kids in the Premier League generally fall flat on their face. I mean, that's no use in trying to strengthen a squad to go and take that 9-point, 10-point gap, get that gap, and finish
Davinson
first in the Premier League.
Sanchez, by the way, that's his name.
Pass. No idea. Absolutely no idea. Yeah, it's going to be Man U, Man City or Chelsea. Nobody else is going to be get close unless Arsenal do what I said, but that's injury-wise. If injuries, they're lucky, and also if they spend the money wisely, but it's Arsenal, so they don't, so it's not going to happen.
Everton obviously have signed as well Wayne Rooney. They were 1-0 victors against Stoke City. We'll see how the jury's still out for Wayne Rooney. Going Arna free over to Everton, Momo. Porque cuando estoy hablando me tienes que molestar. Sí, está bien.
Say
that
again, Hugo.
Sorry?
Carry it there. Say that again, you carry it there, sorry.
Oh, that I was saying that Wayne Rooney, obviously the jury's still out there for Wayne Rooney joining over from Manchester United to Everton, his boyhood club. How do you think he's
going to
buy out over at Everton?
It's such a poor season last year. I mean, yeah, okay, he scored on his re-debut, which is all well and good. But, I mean, I could score on my debut and that could be it, you know? You need to be consistent. And that's one thing he wasn't at Man City last season. He was not consistent.
Mm-hmm. You mean Man United, by the way.
I'm doing that. I'm reading stuff. I'm trying to do a little bit of research for more things. I'm trying to do block five as well. So I can't multitask. I'm typical male. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. The jury's out. I mean, yeah, he's a good replacement for Lukaku, but not as good as
he is not a replacement for Lukaku. Get out of here, you know, he is not a replacement for Lukaku.
Well, who have they signed to cover Lukaku then, apart from him?
Do you know how many signings Everton has had this transfer window? They've signed everything but a striker.
Oh, for God's sake, that's clever, given they've got 90 million quid, plus all the money this guy. That's clever.
Because I'm sorry, Wayne Rooney's not a striker anymore. His legs don't give him to be a striker. He's not what he used to be. So for him to take over the role for Lukaku, it's, come on. Yeah.
I mean, although my tone wasn't sarcastic, but I mean, you know, I'm saying, on paper he's a good replacement, but I don't rate Rooney anymore. He had a garbage season last year, and that was with, like, some of the, well, without being biased here or anti-biased, in inverted commas, some of the best players in the world. Because going back to what you said about Mkhitaryan, I like Mkhitaryan, but then you're a bit more well-versed because you're a big Bundesliga man. But then at the same time, Pogba was garbage last season, in my opinion. So again, the duty's still on him. So we just don't know. We just don't know, man.
Yeah, Gylfi Sigurdsson has moved. Obviously, has completed a £35 million million move over to Everton from Swansea. I think that is absolutely fantastic. Gareth Barry has left Everton and has gone to West Brom on a one year deal. Obviously, Everton have strengthened with Michael Keane coming over from Burnley. Klaassen is obviously from Ajax. They also have Jordan Pickford that came over from Sunderland, Alexandro from Malaga, Wayne Rooney, and Sigurdsson. So, like I said, they have spent very well in the transfer market. However, they need to sign a striker for Everton to be okay. Still, I don't think they'll be top four. However, they definitely should fight for the top seven, in my opinion, and be able to play in the Europa League once again next season, unless they win the Europa League, which anything's possible, man. I mean, the Europa League is what? It's ass, dude. If Celta Vigo could make it to the semifinals, a team like Everton should make it to the semifinals. Southampton 0, Swansea 0. As we know, Swansea has lost now. Gylfi Sigurdsson definitely looked to be in very well into the relegation battle. Southampton, however, nothing really too crazy has come out of their team. Obviously, the biggest thing on Southampton is Virgil van Dijk holding out. He wants to go to a different team. Obviously, he doesn't want to play for Southampton anymore after signing a five-year deal extension over in January. However, Liverpool, Manchester City, Chelsea are looking into him. However, his preferred destination is Liverpool, but Liverpool were caught talking to van Dijk and you know, they were reported over to the FA based on tampering on that.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. As much as I'd like Van Dijk to go to Liverpool, it's not going to happen. No way.
I think it is.
Even if they flog Coutinho and get all the money for Coutinho and then throw all that money to Southampton will still say no.
I think they will, but we'll see. And then Tottenham 2, Newcastle nil. Obviously, it was at St. James's Park. We'll see. Well, the jury's still out for Newcastle, obviously going against Tottenham, who are a very complete team. It was definitely bound to happen for Tottenham to win. Dele Alli looked fantastic. Harry Kane as well. I mean, they have such a complete squad. Obviously, now with Carey and Trippier obviously out as well, they had to sign Davinson Sanchez over from Ajax, which the jury's out for him because realistically, no one really knows the kid. He hasn't even made the Colombian squad just yet. But from what I hear, very positive things. I definitely gotta do my homework on one of my own. I kind of feel not patriotic because I don't know one of my own very well. I know he used to play for Atletico Nacional, Momo. I did see him there, but obviously I don't follow the Eredivisie, so I really can't say how great of a player he is in Europe. So obviously, mm-hmm. The jury's still out there for him. However, man, what a fantastic start to the Premier League season. Lots of goals. Fantastic end-to-end. Obviously, tomorrow we start off again, match day two. We have Swansea, Man United, Southampton against West Ham. Leicester will receive Brighton. Liverpool will receive Crystal Palace. Bournemouth will receive Watford. Burnley receive West Bromwich Albion. Stoke host Arsenal over at the Bet365 Stadium. On Sunday, we have Huddersfield and Newcastle, two newly promoted teams. Tottenham and Chelsea, huge game over there at Wembley because, as we know, White Hart Lane is being rebuilt, a brand new stadium for Tottenham right now. Obviously, if Chelsea loses that one as well, then we have a lot more questions than answers. And next week's pod, it should definitely be a doozy one. And then we close out on Monday. Manchester City receive a very tough Everton team. Definitely should be a great game at the Etihad, Momo.
That'll be a cracking game. I might actually try and get down the pub and watch that one. Actually, you know that.
Which one? Man City and Everton?
Yeah, that'd be a cracking game.
I actually had a switch with someone from work. I'm working 6 days next week. My manager put me to work on Tuesday. I was able to switch that and actually have one of my coworkers work for me on Monday, and I'll take their Tuesday because I wasn't going to miss that. I'm trying not to miss many Man City games this season. Obviously, when it comes to the Christmas time, it's a little bit harder because I do work in retail, so it's kind of harder for me to be able to take off time from work. But with that being said, Momo, I'm just going to go out there. I'm just going to give my predictions now. I'm going to say this. I'm going to go with relegation. I think who's going to get relegated this season in the Premier League? I'm going to say Brighton are going to get relegated. Unfortunately, as much as I would love to see the Seagulls play another season in the Premier League like next season, I don't think it's just going to happen. I do have a feeling that Huddersfield, like you said, very tough. I would love for them also to stay up. I like Huddersfield, and I think – I don't want to say West Ham because I think that's too much of a shout there, but they could be in trouble if they continue on with their form last season carrying over to this season. Same thing with Crystal Palace. Should be very, very worried. I'm going to go with Watford. I think Watford is a team that, that they really haven't made any signings except for Andre Gray. I'm not too keen on Watford. I know they have Marco Silva, who obviously managed Hull last season, almost gave him the great escape. However, I think it'll be Watford next season. Now, in terms of top four, let's go with top five. In number five, I'm going to say Arsenal. I don't think it's going to be Arsenal. I think Spurs finished fifth. And I'll tell you the reason why I think Spurs finished fifth. A, their lack of signings in this transfer window. And B, they're playing at Wembley Stadium. So we got the jury still out there for them playing at a Wembley Stadium. I'm going to go with Tottenham. I'm going to go Arsenal fourth. Actually, I'm going to go Chelsea fourth because I'm not too convinced with Chelsea. I'm going to go with Arsenal third. I'll go Manchester United second and Manchester City first because I think the signings that Man City have done are dead on, spot on for Pep Guardiola. Who do you got, Momo?
I'm going to give it Brighton. I'm going to give it. Maybe Crystal Palace and I don't know because there's a few teams that I'm hovering over, but I don't want to sort of sit and make bold predictions and then, you know, fall flat on my face like last season, because quite a few times last season I was like, yeah, this is going to happen, then it completely did not happen and I was so far wrong, it was ridiculous. Yeah, Brighton, Palace and Huddersfield.
Sorry, repeat that again?
Brighton, Palace, Huddersfield.
Okay. Top five?
In order or just top five? You go.
I'm listening.
Do you want them in order or just the top five?
Yeah, five from first. From fifth?
Oh, man. Oh, my God. Right. Jeez. Oh. Wow. Right. First place, Man City.
Okay.
Second place, Man United.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea third, Spurs fourth, Liverpool fifth, Arsenal sixth.
Okay. So we almost have the same, well, we almost have the same top four.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I think Spurs, the Wembley Stadium thing is going to be detrimental for their season because they don't play one and Wembley. They don't play well at Wembley Stadium. I mean, you obviously saw the Europa League last season, the Champions League last season. So yeah, I mean, I could live with that as well. But I think Arsenal. I think Arsenal are gonna, since you know they're playing Europa League. I don't think they're gonna take the competition seriously like Jose Mourinho did. I think their main target is obviously to compete in the Premier League. So that's something that could definitely work in Arsenal's favor. That's the reason why I'm going Arsenal in the top four. Outside of Tottenham, which I think for Tottenham is, like I told you, it's definitely their fact that they're playing, you know, from home, away from home, I should say. But yeah, so next week, Momo, we're going to come back. We're going to revisit, obviously, match week two. We're going to give more in-depth analysis team by team in the Premier League. We'll talk a little bit about La Liga. Well, obviously, Barcelona's crisis. We have to. We know it's been already 2 weeks, but we have to talk about Neymar because that's a huge, huge thing that we need to cover. Obviously, we'll also cover, you know, my Bundesliga corner. Since we know Momo loves Scottish football, I'm the only one that religiously follows the Bundesliga. So I'll give you guys my predictions on what's going to happen in the Bundesliga. Although, yes, Bayern Munich are going to win the league title. That's not a no. That's obviously known. But what could be the shocks of the Bundesliga? Who could go down? Who could compete in the top four in the Bundesliga? Also, Serie A, is AC Milan back? They have spent very well. And is Serie A now worth watching again? Inter Milan also have made their strides. Juventus have lost a couple players. Lots of things to get onto. Also, obviously, PSG, Monaco, Kylian Mbappe, and all of this more at next week's pod, as well as Momo's return. I'm gonna give you a pass, Momo. I want you to get your blood pressure boiling. So hopefully either Elgin or Rangers do well this weekend over in the Scottish Premiership, as well as League Two for Elgin City. We're gonna try to get Rick and the crew back next week, but obviously we need to get a show out and about. So that's why Momo and I agreed to do a short show today, and finally we should be back. Sometime, obviously, we'll have it up on the network next weekend, a full-blown show. We'll record it sometime around this time or in the weekend, but you'll see it on Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. on the BDSIR network. Any last-minute words, Momo, before we get out of here, man?
Enjoy your football, guys. I have not enjoyed the start to the season because it's been a long start, but we'll go into that next week. But hopefully, now that we're a little bit in terms of my football, it'll start getting better. And also, let's hope Arsenal get relegated. Yeah, powers.
For Momo, Rick, Andy, and myself, we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Bye, guys.